Hello and welcome upstate South Carolina down to the Midlands to the Yard Pro Show brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm Mills Grant, one of your hosts this morning.
And I'm Scott B.
And it is an absolute delight to be here. You can tell I'm pretty excited, Scott.
Why?
Why? I don't even, you know, I put the wrong date on today's paperwork. What is it, June the 8th? June the 8th, Saturday morning, June the 8th, 9 a.m. We're glad to have you tuning in. It's going to be a fantastic show. It's going to be a, I don't know, maybe a fantastic weekend because we're seeing a little bit of rain. And more importantly, it's going to be a great show. I know it's going to be a great show, Scott, because we have a guest today.
We do.
We have a special guest. We have a golf course superintendent, so... This gentleman should know everything there is to know about grass, wouldn't you think, Scott?
I would say
Yeah, we're going to set him high on the pedestal, high on the pedestal. We have Mr. Stephen Thompson, the golf course superintendent of Greer Golf and Country Club. So it's a delight to have you here, Stephen. Have you got your, did you figure out how to turn the mic on? That's the question. Let's see. Well, say something.
I think so.
Oh, you're on the air.
Thank you for having me, Mills. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem, man. It's a delight to have you. Stephen and I, Scott, early this morning when you were in the bed, he and I were up at Thornblade Country Club. It is the week of the BMW Celebrity Pro-Am on the web.com PGA Tour. And, he and I were up bright and early. What were you doing at 4:30 a.m. this morning?
I was still sleeping.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yep.
Shortly after 5, I stepped out into a fairway bunker to rake bunkers there with Randy Long and his great crew. Got Goose, all those good guys out there, Had a fantastic time, but boy, it's humid out there. It is humid. You know, every week we talk about what's hot, what's the hot topic. Now it's the humidity, mm-hmm. It has been the heat. Now it's the humidity. And, Stephen, I don't know about you. I mean, I saw you. You were just kind of riding around on a golf cart for the majority of the morning.
Right? I had an easy job, yes.
Yeah. Pulling a little bit of dew, dragging a hose, you and Mr. Gary Jones. I did that last year, but, Scott, I was taken off of that crew because I may have run over the hose and jerked Gary halfway out of the golf cart at one point. But, I'm now bunker crew.
Well, you may have upgraded.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and raking bunkers is always, honestly, it's always fun.
When you do a good job, you're usually promoted.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I did such a good job at that cushy job, now I'm bunker crew.
Yeah.
You claim, the mind of a superintendent, right? So the golf course is looking great out there, wouldn't you say, Stephen?
Thornblade is looking wonderful. It's a beautiful golf course. It's a beautiful layout. They're doing some bunker reconstruction. They've got 3 or 4 holes finished. After the BMW moves out, they're going to have the construction crew moving back in to continue working on that. And it's an exciting time to be there.
Yeah, it really is. And the bunker reconstruction looks fantastic. It's a great thing. It's something they needed. And it's really interesting because they're doing, and Scott, I don't know if you're aware of it, they're using Zoysia, Cavalier Zoysia for the bunker surrounds, very similar to Royal Zoysia. Mm-hmm. And then, certainly 419 is the majority of the grass and the rough and the fairways. So they're going back with 419 beyond that. But using the Zoysia around the bunkers to frame them in. And, I think, Stephen, it's just Zoysia is a slower grower. And with bunkers, you want that really neat, clean edge. And I think a lot of that was, hey, we can keep a nice, clean, neat edge with Zoysia as compared to Bermuda and the runners, just really getting out into the bunker. So
yeah, it's about the rhizomes and the stolons.
That's right. So and the only problem, Zoysia, you're right, Bermuda's mostly stolons with just a few rhizomes, but Zoysia's mostly rhizomes, hardly any stolons on Cavalier Zoysia, so you don't get that grass running too much into the top surface.
Right, so it affects the amount of maintenance required to keep a pretty edge.
Yeah. And I tell you too, just the contrast around that edge. When you stand on the tee, you look down there and you see that contrast. Kiwi Key did the same thing last year on their bunkers for their renovation. They used Royal Zoysia for all bunker surrounds. And then everything else is 419. So fantastic time, folks, if you're tuning in and it's a little rainy today. But you might have time to get out there. If you got the time, you may want to go out, purchase a ticket, walk the golf course. It's in great shape, beautiful. And if you do get out there or you watch it on TV late today, pay particular attention to the bunkers, especially 13 through 18, because I rake the majority of those edges, and I think they look fantastic. I'm just going to put that out there. Scott, you know, we always talk about the hot topics. You know, Steven's out there volunteering this morning. I said, hey, man, you ought to come to the radio show. Hang out with us, talk a little bit. And he said, well, what's on the plate today? And I said, well, we go through a little bit of hot topics. The hot topic, you know, has been hot, but it has moderated a little bit with temperatures in the last week, been a little cooler, a little bit better for gardening. But my concern is now we're getting the humidity. I mean, I didn't get rained on this morning, but when I got done raking bunkers, I'm just as wet as if I had been rained on. The humidity is really out there. Before we talk about what that humidity may bring, what you and Steven think about it, you know, let's talk briefly about what's going on with our drought report. Can I get a drum roll, please, Scott?
You can.
Oh, here we go. It is the weekly drought report. Of course, we got rain yesterday, folks, and a fair amount of it, and more coming today all across the listening area. But as of released on Thursday, as of June 4th, this past Tuesday, the drought report, Scott.
We have a new color.
We have a new color. So we're looking at a new color, Charleston County, all the way down around Beaufort, right on the coast. We have a new color. It is the D2 color, severe drought. The majority of the state of South Carolina is in some form of drought. I didn't print the actual percentages, but I would say our drought grew by about 10% in 1 week's time. Now, it'll be interesting to see what this rain's going to, what kind of impact it's going to have. I hope it has enough. My fear is, Scott, we're so dry, such low humidity, that I don't know. I mean, it's going to have some impact, but when you're this dry, you get rain that quickly. What's going to, you know, most of it runs off. Mm-hmm. Would you not agree with that? So, and now, you know, we got the heat, we got the muggy nights, so we need to talk a little bit about, now that we're getting rain, what's going to happen. Before we move on to that, I do want to invite our listeners to take this opportunity. If you'd like to become a participant in today's show, as I always say, you can give us a call. The phone lines are open at 1-800-347-1063. That is 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Love to hear from you on the text line as well. I'll actually refresh that. Maybe we had one come in. Nope, we didn't. So it's going to be a long show. Steven, I hope you have a lot to talk about. If we don't get any callers.
Well, I'm here to participate and help out where I can.
Oh, there you go. So you want to be a participant as well.
I'm support, yes.
So what's your thoughts, Stephen, with the, you know, what's going on? You know, Greer Golf and Country Club, y'all have diamonds or your greens. Things are beginning to grow, I'm certain. Kind of what's your thoughts? What's the good things that are happening out at Greer?
Well, Greer is under a lot of changes currently. I'm still pretty new as a superintendent. I'll be there 2 years in August, and we've recently got a new general manager. He's been there about 5 weeks. So we're kind of looking at some things and revamping, trying to make a plan to get Greer back on the map.
Yeah.
Greer Country Club, it is a low-budget golf course, and it people don't really understand how much money it takes to operate an 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, how many you bring that up, you compare that to a homeowner that has roughly, you know, in this market, what, a half to a three-quarter acre lot,
mm-hmm.
that you're maintaining. And our homeowners, our listeners, know what it costs to maintain their own yard. How many acres are you maintaining at Greer Country Club, you'd guess?
I'm maintaining 70 acres of mowable turf grass.
Of mowable turf grass. And I guess a lot of that goes back in greens-wise. Y'all were, what, two and a half acres,
yeah,
I think?
2.3 acres of diamond zoysia.
Of diamond zoysia greens, which fantastic greens, by the way. Fun to play. You know, there are a lot of options in upstate. There's actually, you know, more than just Greer when it comes to diamond. There's a lot of diamond courses around. But if you haven't played a golf course with diamond greens, it's a lot of fun. It's quite shocking to see how much fun it is. The ball rolls really nice, have a nice, lush look to them. So, you know, hopefully as y'all keep growing and changing and evolving, keep getting people out. And y'all are open to the public. So
yes, we are open 7 days a week, open to the public. We offer memberships. We also have a new restaurant. What used to be Martha's Kitchen, Martha Corbin, she was the cook there for about 40, 45 years. She has left, and a new company, Mulligan's, has moved in, and they're offering breakfast and lunch Monday through Saturday, I believe, and offering dinner at night Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday brunch.
Awesome. So whether you're playing golf or not, at least go by and check out the restaurant there.
Yeah,
so
they definitely got some good food. They got a really good chef there that's constantly thinking and whooping up a new menu.
So, guys, I had a text come in. It says, I'm buying a house and the yard is hilly. I'm going to dig out the yard and flatten it and install some retaining walls. What should I do about the no grass after I level the yard? I don't know much about grass. So, sounds like we got to go through the process in this situation of evaluating your micro environment. We know what the environment is. Let's see. That is I don't know where they're from. It's upstate or Midlands because it's a 401 area code. So, doesn't really tie us as to whether it's upstate, low country. But no matter where you are in the state of South Carolina, the first thing we have to do, because I can guarantee you, you're going to have multiple options for varieties of grass to grow on your lawn. So the first thing you need to do, though, is narrow it down. What are the environmental conditions? How much sun versus shade? A lot of people around here really get hung up, especially here in the upstate, get hung up, well, my soil's kind of heavy and clay, so what grows best? The varieties that we grow at the farm, whether it's Bermuda, St. Augustine, Centipede, Zoysia, even fescue, they all will grow in clay soil. They all will grow in sandy soils, okay, if you're in the Midlands and have a sandy loam. I'm more concerned about what is that microenvironment. Is it north versus south facing? You know, that plays into winter hardiness. Mm-hmm. Is it full sun? Is it partly shaded? Is it mostly shaded? I think those are the things you have to ask first. Then we can narrow it down to, you know, the big question, Scott, you and I talked about it last week. Oh, and I got this back. Marietta, South Carolina. Okay. So our texter's still listening. That's great. So we know we have at least one listener today, right? And, you know, you're in Marietta. We know it's a heavy red clay soil. So we know that if you're going warm season, it's either Zoysia, it's either Bermuda. That really comes back, first and foremost, to shade. Okay, if you got a little bit of shade, Bermuda goes out the window. We need to go more towards the Zoysia sign if you want to stay warm season, or it could be fescue. But when it comes to Zoysia, we want to know how much shade you have because something like Royal Zoysia, the fine-bladed Zoysia, is going to be much better if we're only gaining, you know, 4 hours of sunlight a day over something like Palisades or Chisholm. If you can grow Palisades or Chisholm because you're getting 4+ hours of sunlight a day, it might be a better option for you. It's easier grass to maintain. So it comes back to what will grow here. It's probably going to be multiple varieties. And then what am I willing to maintain? You know, I have a firm belief if you're going to invest your money into your lawn, first and foremost, let's choose the proper variety that will grow there. But let's also choose the variety that you're willing to maintain long term. Our goal is to sell you sod one time. Now, if you want to kill your lawn and re-sod it every 2 or 3 years, we'll gladly take your money. We're in the sod business, you know. We produce over 2,000 acres of sod. We're in the business. But at the same token, we believe in having customer satisfaction and you having success in that lawn. So we want to make sure not only choose the variety that works in the lawn, but we want you to choose a variety that you're willing to maintain. Understand what the maintenance is long term. And I think that comes back on the golf course. It couldn't have been said any better. What are you willing to maintain on the golf course? That's why so many courses are going away from bent grass greens,
right,
and going
right
to either ultra dwarf Bermuda or diamond Zoysia greens,
right,
because it comes down to what are we willing to put into that, you know? Especially you with 70-plus acres of maintained mowable turf, it comes down to budget. What are we willing to put into it and maintain?
Absolutely.
So, and size, you know, very little shade, mostly sun all day. Hey, you might want to go Bermuda. Think about it. You know, but if you're going to be there long term, Zoysia is going to require less water, right?
Yes.
And Zoysia is very satisfying to maintain. Less water, less fertilizer. The only disease issue I can really think of on Zoysia, that I'm really concerned about is large patch in the fall of the year. Even you on Diamond Zoysia Green, Steven, I know you deal with that, but
right.
You go out, I'm sure, and make a couple laps of Velista or something similar to that in
That's
the fall.
Correct, yes.
To protect yourself. So,
but it looks like your listener says very little shade and mostly sunny all day. So a Zoysia or a Bermuda would certainly be your best options.
Yeah, definitely. And in Marietta, South Carolina, certainly stay away from St. Augustine. We're up too close to the base of the mountains. Probably stay away from Centipede as well.
But you're
From winter kill.
Most people are going to tell you to start with to do a soil sample, see what you're starting with. You don't have to do a lot of samples, but if you're going to put down any amendments, depending on how much soil you dig out of the yard, see what you need to put down as far as any kind of amendments, and then just do a little bit of research. Take you about 30 minutes, hour at the absolute most, on a couple of turf grass varieties. And find your local dealer that can get it out there to you, and just get started with it. Again, probably your Zoysia or Bermuda grass 419 is going to be some of your best options.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, Scott, one thing that with this text, we're talking about a newly, establishing a new yard. We're in state of drought. Now, we know that may change a little bit by next week's show based on the rain that we're receiving, this weekend, early in the week. One of the things that we talked about in the last couple of weeks, and I think it's worth mentioning again, is, what does this hot, drier weather, this drought, mean for your lawn? Whether you're maintaining a current lawn, whether you're establishing a current lawn, we forget – And Stephen and I had a discussion about this morning, is we forget, very quickly now that we had excessive moisture through the winter months, December, mm-hmm. January, February. And, yes, there have been some issues here and there in spring transition. Stephen and I were talking about anaerobic situations, a bacteria building up in the soil because they stay waterlogged, there's no oxygen. I mean, it just has a distinctive foul odor to it. Yeah, the easiest way to mention it is it kind of smells like sewage, We see that even in home loans. Those areas may still be struggling, and I know we're talking about drought, and some people are going, well, I still got some injury from the water, too much water this spring. And then you get black algae growing. It's a mess. But we got to transition very quickly because we're going into summer, and people start putting in new lawns and maintaining their own lawn. An existing lawn, if you're irrigating your existing lawn, it shouldn't be 10 minutes every day. I know, Stephen, you can do it on your golf green where you have superior drainage and everything works well, right?
Right.
And it's different. But your fairways, you don't irrigate every day. You irrigate, a couple times a week maybe?
Yeah, a couple of times a week. And I tell you,
and you irrigate for a longer period of time, I imagine, on those fairways than you do your golf green every day. So.
Yes.
Your fairway and rough is more like somebody's front lawn. Irrigate 2 to 3 times a week. We want an inch and a half of water, whether it's rainfall or irrigation, per week. That's our goal. If you don't know how much water you're putting out, I suggest you get some tuna cans. Okay, you got to empty the tuna out. If you're like me and you're not a real big fan of canned tuna, then feed the neighborhood cats, okay? A tuna can is almost every tuna can on the market is almost exactly 1 inch. Run your irrigation zones for a period of time and measure the water. A little bit of simple math, it'll tell you your precipitation rate. How much water do I get over a period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once we know that, we want 2 or 3 irrigation events during the week where we're getting that inch to inch and a half per week. That's our total. The other thing I really want people to be aware of, I know this time of year, Scott, you're selling a tremendous amount of sod at this point of the year to homeowners. What happens if we lay it on dry soil?
It'll act like a sponge.
The new sod will.
Yeah, it'll suck the moisture right out of it.
That's right. And then what happens once it sucks it out and it's wind's blowing?
It wilts fast.
It wilts really fast, okay? You're damaging your new sod. So a simple thing to do.
Wet the soil?
Wet the soil beforehand.
Don't drown it, but keep it wet.
Yeah. Prepare the soil a couple of days ahead of time and irrigate well at night. Now, when should we irrigate?
In the morning.
Now Stephen's going to say, hey, I'm running my irrigation. Yeah. It comes on at 9 o'clock at night. Well, let's remember, Stephen's trying to irrigate 70 acres, right?
That's right.
So you have to start yours at night, and yours has to be done by 7:30 in the morning because you got golfers that want to play golf.
That's correct.
But your personal lawn, when are you going to irrigate it?
Well,
early in the morning?
My personal lawn, if I had an irrigation system, it would come on about 5:30.
There you go.
5 a.m. You want to keep that leaf surface as dry as possible. You don't want it to be wet all night long.
Yeah. Because when we extend the leaf wetness for a longer period of time, we have other issues, which brings up an issue that we've got to talk about at some point today, which is the diseases that we may begin to see to pop up.
Yeah, this time of year.
This time of year, now that the humidity is finally here.
Humidity, cloudy weather, and rainy.
Cloudy weather and rainy. So those things are going to become a bigger issue, you know, probably beginning as early as this week all over the listening area.
Yeah, so they're just looking at the humidity. It's 93%.
Yeah. And it's what outside? Cloudy. Mm-hmm. You know, mostly cloudy. And it's going to be that way for several days. So when we come back from the bottom of the hour show, because we're down to about a minute, Scott, we need to talk a little bit about what to expect from a disease standpoint to make people aware of what they should be thinking about, not only in their lawn, but also their landscape plants. I want to talk a little bit about an interesting thing I have seen on a piece of property recently that I've been to quite often this week, which is either Fusarium or Phytophthora root rot on liriope. We never think about liriope having disease issues, but I've seen more of it this year. I think it's because of weather patterns that we had back in the spring of the year with excessive moisture, and now we're getting humid. So, folks, you are tuned into the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I have Scott and Stephen Thompson from Greer Country Club with us today. We would love to hear from you during the bottom of the hour break. The phone lines are open, 1-800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'd like to remind you, you can find us very easily during the week, if you would like, at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to all of our local retail stores. We have 7 of those throughout the great state of South Carolina, and maps, email addresses, anything you may need to make your life a little bit easier is on that website. So we invite you to visit us at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. We are live this morning, June the 8th. Okay, good. Got my dates. I can't believe it's already June. Halfway through the year. Folks, I am Mills Grant, one of your hosts. We have our other co-host,
Scott Beard,
and he's here, as well as our guest superintendent, golf superintendent of Greer Golf and Country Club, Stephen Thompson. Are you here, Stephen?
Yes, sir.
Oh, he's here. Yeah, he's here. You don't have to keep thanking me. I'll send you a bill later. How about that?
When's the pizza coming?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, they don't have a green room here. I'm sorry. There's a water fountain right around the corner if you need some water. You know, folks, the phone lines are open. I guess they work. Angela, have you confirmed the phone lines do work, right? Yep, thumbs up. They do work. 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And the text line I know works because we had a text earlier from a listener, 71307. You can text your question here. Scott, one thing I didn't mention about this text, first half of the show, I'm buying a house, yard is hilly. I'm going to dig out the yard, flatten it, and install some retaining walls. Okay, that's very important. Hopefully, this customer is going to call their local Carolina Fresh Farms outlet for their retaining wall material because we have ample supply of pavers, natural stone, retaining wall materials, outdoor fireplaces. If you want outdoor hardscape living areas in your lawn or landscape, please come by, visit us, meet with us and our knowledgeable staff to help you plan that next project, because we have all of that in, as well as mulches from pine straw. You know, it's there. We have it at your disposal. You know, we are your landscaping supply specialist, so please come see us at Carolina Fresh Farms. We're open Monday through Friday. Every outlet in the state is open from 8 until 5 p.m. And on Saturdays, we're open from 8 until noon. It is too wet to go mow the yard. We're open till noon today, so visit your local Carolina Fresh Farms outlet. We'd love to have you out there. I'm sure it's busy, though. So guess what? The phone lines do work. We have Bob in Columbia. Let's go straight to it. He has a question about chamber bitter. Scott, you're the expert on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott. Maybe Steven is. Hello, Bob, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. I don't know if it's such a problem upstate, but chamber bitter's just going nuts in my yard anyway. What can I use? It's centipede. Can I use what spray can I use to kill chamber bitter in the centipede yard?
You know, you've got to be a little bit persistent, because although it's, you know, in a yard, to me, it's kind of borderline woody stem, right, Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like Lespedeza. It's a little bit tougher, or you may find that you have to really follow the label, Bob. And if it says reapply in 14 days, even if you think it's dead, reapply it. Hold on one second. There we go. Sorry, I had a little glitch there on the computer. I needed to click something. Scott, what centipede? What would you
suggest?
Speed
Zone Southern.
Speed Zone Southern.
Speed Zone Southern, Trimex Southern. But yeah. Make sure you read the label. This coming week, I think you're fine temperature-wise.
Yes.
So there is a temperature restriction on it.
Okay, and what product was that?
Speed Zone Southern or Trimex Southern. It's a three-way herbicide. Trimex.
Trimex Southern.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
And is that a dry or a spray?
That's concentrate.
It's a concentrate. It's a spray. And I think on that chamber bitter, you know, normally we see some here, some there. It's normally you don't see a sea of it in your entire lawn. And with something like chamber bitter, I think you're going to be more effective spraying, because most of these selective herbicides, Bob, we have to remember that most of these are going to enter through the leaf tissue is the best way to control the weed. We need to physically get the product on the leaf. So what I would do is mow the lawn, wait a few days when it starts flushing back out. Then you can go in there, spray the chamber bitter, and don't mow it for a few days. And watch your temperatures. I mean, if we're below 90, you should be good. If a lot of these products, if you're above 90, it's kind of a no-no. We need to wait and spray that either early in the morning or late in the evening.
Another product, especially if you have a centipede lawn, I mean, you could go with Celsius, because there's no temperature restriction on Celsius.
Yeah. So,
And where can I get this Trimex product?
Well, you have called the right folks, Bob. We have a location off of Clemson Road in
Columbia. Right, I'm familiar where that's at, but that's about 20 miles from me, and so you have it there.
We do have it there. It's not something like Trimex Southern and Speed Zone Southern. They're going to be a little hard to find in the big box stores. What side of Columbia are you on? Are you over towards Lexington?
Yes.
If you're over towards Lexington, I'll go ahead and give you this tip. WP Law over in Lexington, they keep a –
I know right where they're at. They have
a good selection of product there as well. And if you happen to go in there, ask to speak to my good friend Travis, and Scott's good friend, great guy, Travis Higginbottom. So and he can
he
help
won't
you.
Throw anything at me, will he?
He may. He won't throw anything, but he's probably going to charge you double. But that's okay.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know right where they're at. I've been in there before.
All right.
So I'll stop there.
All right. Sounds great. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, that's one thing with these milder temperatures is actually a good thing, is you can do a little bit of weed control
right now. Yeah, you can. You can clean up a little bit.
But it's one thing we didn't mention, talking about it being hot and under drought. When that grass is under stress, okay, be very careful. And we say this every week, it seems like, in the summer, Scott. And, Stephen, I know you see this. You know, you don't go out and spray things in your fairway and in your rough when it gets really hot and dry and you're under drought stress. Just can't do it.
That's right.
You know, it's not worth the risk. Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines. We have Shane in Greenville. Hello, Shane, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Hey, I bought some St. Augustine from you guys back 2 years ago. Laid it down.
in my previous yard, and that was in South Greenville, and it did phenomenal. I mean, it's just, it was doing great. Now we're moving to Greer, so I might change course of what grass I go with there. But
yeah, and, you know, it really comes down to what I said earlier, first half of the show, if you were listening, is about micro environment. That was a hot topic, Stephen, when you and I were at Clemson in our landscape-type classes. We would talk about the micro environment. Even though our environment may say it's one thing, where the yard is, how it's situated, you possibly could have some success. I know some folks mm-hmm. are listening saying, hey, Mill said that, you know, I don't normally recommend St. Augustine in the upstate of South Carolina, but there are some people that have success with St. Augustine in the upstate.
Yeah, I have people see it and they go, it's not going to grow here. It's not going to grow here. And I'm like, okay, I'll keep laying the Milorganite down and we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yep, that's right. The only thing that, you know, with St. Augustine that I will say that you got to be a little bit careful with, especially now that we're getting humid. We talked about it at the bottom half of the show. We want to get into it this half. Is with this humidity, gray leaf spot is getting ready to explode with this rain and cloud cover. And, you know, gray leaf spot is really just an annoying, pesky, aesthetic disease. But, you know, if you are going to go to St. Augustine, I would make a suggestion. Make sure you call, you know, Carolina Fresh, whether it's Anderson or Duncan, and try to get your hands on our newest variety, Tamstar, because it seems to be more resilient to not as susceptible to gray leaf spot. It's pretty phenomenal, right. Amazing, great yep. product. So
yeah, so that you, that has been that's been great. I mean, it's a little on the expensive side, but yeah. When you spend that kind of money on and want to maintain your yard, it's well worth it. So
exactly.
I think go to Duncan and pick up some of that. So
perfect.
All right. Well, I was just giving you a call, letting you know. Hey, I'm listening.
Hey,
to you.
We appreciate it, Shane. I hope you have a happy weekend.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye. You know, that Tamstar is pretty phenomenal, and I know, you know, St. Augustine's aren't really using a golf course, Stephen, but this new Tamstar, this has been the first spring and summer we've really had enough inventory to go out there and sell it, and it is phenomenal when it comes to gray leaf spot and chinch bug resistance. So it's a really good product. And like you heard Shane, a previous caller, it may be a little more expensive, but you got to look long term. If we're not putting as much fungicide or insecticide, from an environmental standpoint, that's better, but it's also a lot easier on the pocketbook. So yeah, you might spend 10% more on the front end, but what is it going to save you over the next 2 to 3 to 5 to 10 years in that maintaining that landscape?
Yeah,
kind of like Diamond's Orchard on your greens, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, fungicide cost is absolutely reduced.
There you go. So we're going to stay with the phone lines, guys, and we're going to Bruce in Simpsonville. Hello, Bruce, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
You have a great show. I just bought a flip house a month ago, and it's in a really shaded lot, and it's not been in, lived in a few years, and the, what all was it? This kudzu, ivy, and some other vine material. It grew up the side of that house. It's all over the ground. I don't have a yard. I'm killing everything.
Yeah.
So what would you use on kudzu ivy in a shaded lot?
I think this is a good question for Stephen, because, Stephen, you can say you don't, but I know. I have been to your golf course multiple times. Y'all've got some kudzu out there, I know.
There's some off to the off to the side,
yep.
In the forested areas. Kudzu is going to be one of those weeds that you're going to have to fight it. Pretty much any non-selective herbicide, a 2,4-D glyphosate. People don't like to hear the glyphosate word nowadays.
Yeah,
the Roundup.
That's right.
But you know, honestly, if you follow chemical labels, if you wear protective equipment, those products are completely safe. So, you know, don't be bashful. You know, even Speed Zone Southern, it's a 2,4-D product. You're going to have to treat them several times to get that kudzu, trumpet vine.
Even the ivy, I mean, if you've got the ivy in there, I know you've experienced that too, Scott. The key with a lot of that is, you know, a little bit of manual labor going in there and pulling the vines back off of things that are growing tall as it begins to flush out from the base. You know, spray it. Anything that contains, you know, kudzu and ivy, think of them, they're just big broadleaf weeds. So anything labeled for broadleaf weeds, if you're trying to keep what little bit of desirable grass is underneath, if there's nothing there and you just want to waylay it, you know, brush killer that contains triclopyr mixed with a little bit of Roundup will do phenomenal, but you're still going to have to spray it multiple times. You're going to have to stay on top of it.
Oh, boy. Okay. I had thought about using a bare ground sterilizer, but I'm going to have it back on the market in August, and I want something to look at. You know,
yeah, you got to establish some grass. I would stay away from, you know, a soil sterilant type product. And not only that, those to me can get pretty nasty. If you get a heavy rainfall, then it gets into an area that you didn't want to control stuff because they, you know, the old Pramitol, things like that, have a tendency to move several days after you apply them. So I think the safest way out is probably, if you're not worried about the other desirables there, the safest way out is probably some glyphosate mixed with a Roundup product mixed with brush killer. That triclopyr will go a long way.
I really don't have any desirables in that yard. Yeah. I'm thinking about Nils, we know each other from a long time ago when I was in the landscaping. So that was almost 20 years ago then. But somebody's getting old. It ain't me.
It's me. I'll tell you. I'll be the first to admit it. So
I won't admit it, but I feel your pain, really. I've never – before I started spraying, I put my son up on the roof because that's how far up it had grown.
Yeah.
Up the back corner. And pushed all of it off the roof, and some of it under its own weight started pulling away from the house. Now, what I'm going to have to get up there and probably with 3,500 or better PSI pressure wash and kind of clean it.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're doing the right thing. Get it removed off the house, get it back where it's manageable on the ground, and do some spraying. Give them a couple sprays, I think you can get a pretty good control on it. But spray it, wait 2 weeks, spray it again. You know the drill, okay. So.
Yep, I do. I mean, I sprayed a section last week, and I've got some activity, but I would, with 90-degree days and as dry as it was last week, I was hoping to see a little bit along. But like I said, I got all summer to kill this crap.
Well, get on it. Now's a good time because it's actively growing. So,
well, as you say that, I'm pulling up to the house right now.
Well,
hey,
good.
Appreciate you. Y'all have a great weekend, and go Gamecocks.
Hey, fair enough. I'll let you have that one. So have a great weekend and happy gardening.
You too,
bye-bye. We got to give them that one, you know. Let's see here. We're going straight back to the phone lines, but before I say we're going straight back, before I get there, I had a quick text question. How much daily sunshine is required for Palisade Zoysia to grow successfully in the Five Forks area of Simpsonville? I feel like you need legitimately, I'd like to see you get at least 5 hours, wouldn't you say, Scott?
Nope.
I mean, what do you, Stephen, you've played around a little bit of Palisades over the years. I think a good 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to all be direct with that grass. The neat thing, you can get some filtered light. I think you're good.
Yeah. Minimum of 5 hours, 6 hours yeah. filtered.
You'd be okay.
And the more the merrier.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody asks, well, it grows in the shade, but how will it do in the sun? Oh, it'll grow better. Right. There's not a grass variety out there that won't grow better in the sun versus shade. It's just that some tolerate shade a little bit longer than others.
Right, and Palisade's a good one that tolerates
shade. It tolerates some shade, especially filter shade. Folks, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Chris and Irmo has found us. Hello, Chris, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Yeah, hey, guys. I always enjoy your show and appreciate your expertise. Listen, I have two quick questions. Well, maybe not quick, but anyway, my daughter and son-in-law are moving up in the Greer area, and they just purchased a house, a newly subdivision up there. And when I was there, it looked like they had laid sod down, but they had not watered it or continued. So I had my son-in-law to call them to make sure they had watered it. Now they put the sod down about a month ago. They have a small front yard, but a huge backyard. So my question to you, is there anything we need to ask of the development before they close on this house?
I would begin with asking if there's a guarantee on the landscape. And nine times out of ten, there is. There's a year, at least a one-year guarantee. And find out if there is an irrigation system.
There is not, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know what kind of sod it is? Is it Bermuda or what?
Yeah. Well, it's you know, I'm calling you from Irmo, so it's the same girl. It looked like it was pretty common up there. What is?
It's probably Bermuda, and it's sodded. Yeah. It's 419. Mm-hmm. 419 is not, in my opinion, it's not the most drought tolerant grass out there. It's one of the first to wilt if you take water away. But it is fairly resistant. If you take it to the point of no return, it's dead grass. Any variety has that issue. But the good thing with 419, if you got just a little bit of green in it, if they will fertilize it, which if it hasn't been watered, chances are it hasn't been fertilized, and now is the time to fertilize.
Yeah. Have they already moved in, or are they getting ready to close?
They won't close until next week, to be exact.
Okay, yeah, so I would do, as soon as I moved into that house, I would grab a bag of 2025 and I would sling it on there. And by the end of August, I think they'll be fine. Yeah.
And I think, too, I think Stephen brings up a valid point, too. If they haven't closed on the house yet, I think they need to go to the builder and have a brief discussion with the builder. You know, hey, we know it's Bermuda, more than likely it'll grow in, but we want to make you aware of this, that, you know, it's going to be a struggle. We're okay with it. Because I will tell you this, if we know the lawn will grow in at a reasonable amount of time, it's far better to grow it in. It's the grade's already been done. The sod is installed. If you know it's going to grow in the next 4 weeks, grow it in for a couple of reasons. Number one, you'd learn so much by correcting problems and growing your own grass in. You really learn what that grass needs to grow and thrive and be healthy. So it's a great learning experience. But number two, if you go in and start doing some patchwork repairs in an existing lawn, Stephen will tell you this. I mean, you fight the seams, the unevenness from the repairs longer than if you just let it grow in, right, Stephen?
Right, yeah.
You know, if you can grow it in.
And kind of probably more than likely, even all grasses can go dormant. Just because it goes brown doesn't mean that it's dead. And we're getting a perfect rainfall right now. It's not so heavy where everything's running off. We're actually getting a soaking rain. So probably even by the time they close on that house, it's probably going to be greening back up.
Yep.
But okay. I would
Now you did bring an interesting point. Do most sod people guarantee their lawns when they work with a developer like this?
Some will, but I will be honest with you. Our guarantee at Carolina Fresh Farms and every other sod grower in the state, probably in the southeast, our guarantee is this. We guarantee to provide you living, viable product at time of delivery, which is true to variety. And here's why. It is a living product. I don't know what's going to happen to the product once it's delivered, not even once it's installed. I've had situations before where sod has arrived and we get a phone call 4 days later, hey, this grass is yellow. I go out, I start talking to them. Well, yeah, we just finished laying it yesterday. Sod has to be installed the day it arrives. We've got situations where, especially in new construction, where you supply sod and they've got an irrigation system, but the electrical contractor comes in to do some work. They cut the power to the house for a day or two. Now it doesn't get watered. So most sod companies are not going to stand behind sod that has been neglected. Okay? Remember that. Now, the builder may offer something.
And I think a lot of builders do.
I think a lot of them do.
My family, we've purchased a home inside a subdivision, and they've offered a one-year warranty on the landscape. But it certainly doesn't hurt to ask.
Exactly.
And just to be sure. But I've got a feeling that you'll probably be okay as far as the yard goes. Bermuda grass is very resilient. It recovers quickly. I got a feeling you'll probably be all right. But
okay.
Just to cover your bases.
Okay, I've got one last question, and this comes from my wife. For whatever reason, we live on a hill, and the water comes down, obviously, from the top down. Well, in the side of my yard where the hill runs down at, it has created a hole, or you know, so to speak. But the grass, it has grass and all. So my question to you is, should I be concerned about that? I mean, it's an indented hole, because it's, you know, it's growing grass. I mean, it still has grass and everything else growing within the hole. Should I fill it up and do something with it?
That's up to you. I mean, I had one form in my yard that I lived with for a few years, but when my father-in-law tripped in it for the fourth time, I made a decision this fall. I have a fescue lawn that I actually took some soil out of the garden, packed it back in, and reseeded it. I think it depends on where it is. I mean, if it's stabilized and it's a high erosion area and it's stabilized and you're fine with it, you can mow it, I would leave it. If it's in the middle of your front yard where it's a hazard, I would fix it.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, actually, it keeps water away from my house, to be honest with you.
Leave it alone then.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. So, all right. Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend.
You know, Scott, we're going to get stuck. I've got about 20 seconds left, so I've got a few texts. Folks, if you'll hang around your phones, I'll reply to those at the end of the show. You have been listening to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'd like to thank Stephen Thompson for being here from Greer Country Club. You can find us during the week at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. We hope you have a happy week gardening.